ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Philemon. It's Paul's most personal letter. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. And then there's Will, and Will came by. I got to win him to Jesus. He was about 12 years old. Starting to get a little hair on his face. Under his nose, he had the substance of things hoped for, right there. It was fun. His voice was changing. He was a little guy. I think he was going to get a little bigger because he was right at the threshold of his growing up. But he got saved. You want to know what's really cool about Will and Mike especially? Because I didn't see Miranda anymore. Two times these guys went by, and every time they're like, "Hey, Pastor, hey, Pastor." They wanted to wave to me. One was 22. One was 12. My point is this. We can't go through life on beds of ease. Because if we did, we would settle into that. And we would forget why we're here. We can do church without ever reaching people. We can do church without ever impacting our world or eternity. And so God sometimes upends the cart. And for Philemon, Philemon had to deal with his issues of being publicly humiliated, but he still was standing. Bless him. Bless him. Bless them. And bless all who still get their way out of the corner and find their way into a pew and somewhere let somebody breathe life over them, reminding them there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Reminding them that I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Being reminded because they put themselves in a position to be so. He that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. If there's any sin involved, reminding them that if you confess your sins, He's faithful and just. He's just to forgive us. Those are things we lose sight of when we begin to sink under the waves of our own despair. You see, the loop will create despair, and the wound can create a loop. You see, we need to stay engaged. And he's praising him for having done so. He says, but the reason he prays for them specifically is so that the communication of your faith, Philemon, may become effectual. Effectual means effective. Don't you want your faith to have impact? We do, don't we? Now, if you really want your faith to have impact, there's going to have to be some trauma. There's going to have to be some difficulty. Do you know, Jesus was the best the world ever knew, and they nailed him to a cross. He says, you're going to have tribulation. He says, that's going to happen. In the world, you have, but I have overcome the world. Peace give I unto you. As we sang a little bit ago, not peace like the world gives, but my peace. Why? Because God's got you. He's got you. And you can lean on that. You can draw down on that. You can rest in that. But he prays that the communication of his faith, making it common knowledge to those around him, might become effectual or energized or powerful. And here's how it is. By the acknowledging of every good thing. Now think about this. By the acknowledging of every good thing. Now you're thinking, and I would think on the surface of that in a quick reading, that what he's saying is, I want the communication of your faith to be acknowledged by the world. But no, the way your faith really becomes powerful and effectual is when you acknowledge every good thing that's in you in Christ Jesus. Think about that. What happened is when I got saved, God gave me all things pertaining to life and godliness. He imputed to me Christ's righteousness. There is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. The problem is, I don't kind of feel like that sometimes. I don't kind of act like that sometimes. That I want to do, I don't do. And that I don't want to do, that I do. But when I begin, through my crucible of hurt and pain, to begin to look at Jesus again and think, you know what? You know what? Ever since I gave my heart to Him, He has taken care of me. The footprints in the sand concept comes to mind, doesn't it? I only saw one footprint. Where were you? My son, it was in those moments that I carried you. I carried you. How'd you end up in a pew? Why weren't you in a puddle somewhere? God carried you. And when you acknowledge every good thing that is in you, You say, well, wait a minute. There in me dwells no good. No, not in your own. But he imputes to you his righteousness. He gives to you his Holy Spirit. He is the engagement ring. He's the guarantee you're going home. He's the guarantee that in the end, you'll be able to understand as you are understood. Not good to know even as you're known. But our wounds. So he prays that the communication of your faith may become effectual by your acknowledging, if I may, by your acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. It's about what's in you in Christ Jesus. What's in you? What is in you? The Holy Spirit. Whatever promises that you may stumble upon and remember when it hurts the most. What's in you? The righteousness of Christ. The consolation of the Spirit. The knowledge that God, the Father, is the Father of all comfort. He knows how to comfort us and carry us. But if we're thinking we're down here navigating alone, we've decided to set our upper lip, and we've decided that we're going to just do what we got to do because this is my duty, there's not going to be a lot of acknowledging externally. There's not going to be making common knowledge to the world. It's when we go the next step. You know, redemption always goes a little further. If a man says, go a mile, what do? You go two. Why? Because the first mile was required. That was by law in Rome. A soldier could compel you to carry his gear for a mile. After that, you had to say, no way, buddy, I've done my mile. But as a Christian, when you went the second mile, he was able to get a testimony. What are you doing? You're done, man. You can go back. No, man, I got it. I got this. Let's maybe talk to you. Do you ever talk to people in your day-to-day in a very casual sense about how much you love the Lord Jesus? Because that's what he would have us do. It should be so common and so part of us that we ought not hitch. It ought to be part of us. You know, you talk to people in the world in which we live, and it's, oh, good, fine, I'll talk about sports, I'll talk about the weather, I'll talk about what Google told me about this fact and that fact, and we're all filling in and we're blending in. But the fact is if you're full of Jesus, that's what's going to come out. If you're reading your Bible, there's going to be a verse that blows you away. There's going to be a passage that speaks to your heart. And it will be something that you can take with you. You can share it with other believers. If that's where you start, great, because that's practice. But there comes a point where you begin to get so comfortable with that you're supposed to be able to go and tell somebody else how God has ministered to you when it hurt and when it was hard. He says, I pray that the communication, the commonizing of your faith to your world may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. He says, for we have great joy. He's still dealing with his praise of them. He says, for we have great joy and consolation in your love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. He's saying, I'm giving you credit. You've been doing what you need to do, and I know it's been hard. And maybe you've fallen into a degree of a duty mode, but I want you to know that's commendable. And praise God, because he is speaking to you, even in that duty that you're doing. But now he's going to make a personal petition. In verse 8 he says, wherefore, on the basis of this, he says, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee, that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee. He says, you know what? I've seen you doing what you should do. I've seen you go through the motions you should go through. I've seen how you've been doing the right thing, even though you've been kind of embarrassed, humiliated, and hurt by Onesimus. Now, I said it a moment ago, Onesimus is the particular problem that Paul is trying to remedy in Philemon's life. But you might have a problem. And it might be a principle from this that you need to apply to your personal problem. Okay? You may be mad at God. You may be mad at your husband or your wife. You may be mad at your parents. You know, people go through their whole lives wishing Dad would have given them a hug. And yes, he should have. Okay, or more hugs. You may go through your whole life wishing Mom would have been there for you. And she should have. But, you know, life is hard and life is a mess and things hurt. And God can fix that. I was talking to a man not long ago. In fact, it was the guy at the fair. He said he lost his dad. And he'd been really searching for God, going to church. It was on the basis of that, now that I recall. He said, my dad, he did really mean a lot to me, and I lost him 3 years ago. And that was part, I said, you know what the Bible says? I said, it says God is a father to the fatherless. He's a father to the fatherless. If I was just working with him every day or talking to him day to day at this market or whatever, that would be where I would have left it. But I only had one chance with him, so it was appropriate to go further. But that would have been good. You could say that to somebody who's lost. He's a father to the fatherless. Just one word. God's word says he's a father to the fatherless. You know what it does? It shatters a stronghold in their mind. I lost my dad. No, you didn't. You got somebody beyond that that you can count on forever. And yes, it hurts that you might have lost your father, but he's a father to the fatherless. He'll be closer to you now if you'll let him. And if your father was saved, he would want you to be saved. And if he was not saved, he would want you to be saved. Okay, but we don't have to go that far with them. But in our minds, we know this. We're not just blowing up a smoke screen for them. We're showing them truth. And truth diminishes lies and loops. He's a father to the fatherless. He says that I could enjoin you to do that which is convenient. I could be bold to do this. In fact, I could insist upon it. What I'm going to ask, I could insist upon. He says, but in verse 9, for love's sake, I beseech you. And then he amplifies that a little bit. He says, for love's sake, I beseech you. As Paul the aged, here I am old. As Paul, the aged, a prisoner of the Lord Jesus, I'm a prisoner. He says, yeah, you got it rough, but you know there are people that are dying for their faith. Here I am, Paul, I'm in prison and I'm suffering for my Savior. I'm willing for that. Do you know when you forgive, you're being redemptive? When you forgive God, forgive yourself, forgive your friends or loved ones, you're basically becoming more godly. Godly. Well, I don't want to be godly, and I want to be vindicated, and I want somebody to do vengeance to these people. That was never the disposition of Jesus. He was redemptive in every way. Everything that you and I are involved in, every circle that bypasses our circle, every influence that we make, we have to be mindful that it is an opportunity to access the weapons of our warfare. You say, what are you talking about? 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5, it says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. That means fleshly. But they are mighty in God to the casting down of strongholds. And every imagination that exalts itself against knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Listen, the world out there thinks they came from a monkey because the world's told them that. We have the truth of God's word. We can undo a loop that the lost man's in by just telling him a few quick, fast facts. And people will go, aha! And the moment that the truth shines in, they're like, okay, I see. The genealogies in Matthew and Luke go back to Jesus all the way back to Adam. The flood has marks and scars on the earth all over the place. Seashells on top of Mount Everest. He tells us he's hung the world on nothing. They were told to circumcise their boys on the eighth day because we didn't know why. He just said do it. But on the eighth day, no matter whether it was the Sabbath or not, they were to circumcise the boys because a nursing child has more vitamin K in their blood than any other time. These are fast facts that we can undo the nonsensical loops and shatter the strongholds that a lost man is dealing with. The moment you turn on the light, they can't turn it off. The Bible says that the light shined in darkness and the darkness could not overcome it. The moment that they hear truth, and we pray God they're willing to receive it, but the moment they hear it, they cannot deny it. And you may find that their loop has maybe something to do with nobody loves me.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.